The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, December 3rd, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
This is the first Sunday of Advent. Today we light one purple candle. This candle, the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know God and to worship God in the name of Jesus. When we look at the first candle, we remember God's promise. God promised to send a Savior to the people. When we listen to our scripture reading, we hear that the prophet Isaiah wrote about God. God is the potter who molds us. We know that the gospel witness is one that helps us understand that God is loving and just. God brings peace. This gives us hope. We anticipate again the birth of the baby Jesus, remembering that Jesus helps us know God's love for us. And our reading is Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter. And we are the work of your hand. Together, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the words of the prophet Isaiah that remind us that you are the source of our hope. Help us to live each day, allowing you to form us in a way that brings about your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
The scripture reading for today is from the book of Mark, chapter 13, 24 to 37, But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Then you will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about the day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The word of God for the people of God.
Quite a cheerful text, isn't it? Do you find hope in that? It looks to me like the sun's going to stop shining, the moon and the stars, it's all going to fall apart. Well, let's talk about it. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. I want to kind of do a bookend, literally a bookend. Genesis 1. Here's what he says. Not Exodus 1, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness. Darkness. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now let's go over to Revelation 22. Told you it was a book in literally. From Genesis to Revelation. And the angel tells John to write these things. In verse 5, he records, "And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." We went from darkness to light. But the darkness comes first. But it doesn't take over anything. And I'm going to end my sermon this morning in just a few minutes with sharing with you a devotional from morning and evening by Charles Haddon Spurgeon that really speaks volumes to this, and I just want to share it with you. Mark is talking about and telling the scene of the end of days, the parousia, the future, the coming. And it says nobody knows when. And as we move into Advent, we have in the one hand the celebration of the birth of Jesus, but in the other hand, we anticipate the second coming of Christ. We don't know when. It could be at any time. It could be before the service is over or in another 100 years, 200. We don't know. No one knows. Jesus doesn't even know, only God. But that's the Advent that holds itself. And I remind us every beginning of Advent that that's what we're holding, sort of in tension, if you will, the celebration of the birth of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. Everybody likes the baby Jesus. It's that crucified Savior that sometimes causes people to have a little difficulty. But for us, Advent is the celebration of the birth and anticipation of that second coming. So do you see, it says, and when the Son of Man comes, that is the hope, isn't it? That all things will be set aright and that the darkness will be overcome by the light. How many of you have noticed that light always wins? I didn't say right, I said light. You know, if you light a small candle in a darkened room, what happens? The light flees, the darkness flees as the light comes up, right? A flashlight. It can make a scary house not so scary, right? It can make a car broke down at midnight on the side of the road not so bad, can't it? But the absence of that light, what happens? How many of you have ever been in total darkness, like in a cave? It feels like it can get on you, don't it? You're in that cave and they turn off the light, and just in a minute, it's like, I mean, I'm not talking about a little bit of dark. I'm talking about that total darkness. That's the darkness of hell. That's the darkness that would have been at that beginning, primordial darkness that would have existed prior to the sun and the moon. And that light, that it would have been that darkness. In Catholicism, they believe that sin makes dark spots on our souls. Now, we in Methodism, we're not so sure about that. We don't know if you can put it on and take it off, and well, not sure how all that works. But we do believe that sin can be an image of darkness. It can be a dark blood. It can be a hard time. It can be a bad place in our life. And we do believe that God's grace through Jesus Christ redeems us out of that. And all of that is taken away. Does that mean we're perfect? No. Does that mean we make no more mistakes? No. But remember that I told you it isn't about fruitfulness, but about faithfulness, borrowing those words from Max Lucado. In our lives, it isn't about walking the perfect walk. It's about walking the walk of faith. It's about doing the best we can with the light we have to see by. Every one of us are in a different place on our journey this morning. But I want to ask you something. Close your eyes for just a minute. And in a minute, I'm going to say a word. This is sort of the litmus test, I guess. So please close them, and I'm going to say one word, and I want you to think what is the first thing that comes to your mind when I say this word. The very first thing, and just kind of hold on to it. Hold on to it. And the word I want you to think of is hope. Now, with that in your mind and what you thought of, you can open your eyes lest you take a nap. For us as Christians, honestly, the first thing that should have come to mind was Jesus. For us as Christians, that's our hope, is in Christ. And if we didn't get there first, then we need to work on getting there. For Christ is an eternal hope with an eternal promise and with powers beyond our belief. You see, when you have hope, hopelessness and despair are pushed away. It becomes light in our life. Hope. Hope is light. Hope gives us power for the moment. But hope also gives us hope for tomorrow, really, doesn't it? How many of you run on hope? Anybody run on hope? Or do you run on certainty? Assuredness? Or 89 octane? In my ministry and different areas of my life, the one thing that I've dealt with a lot has been suicide. And I'm going to bet everybody in this room has been touched by it in some way or another. And I'm also going to make a wager that some of you have thought about it yourselves. The common thread is hopelessness. You see, when hopelessness arrives, Satan arrives with it and begins to whisper lies. So the litmus test was the first word that came to mind, is a necessity that you condition yourself through prayer, study the Scripture, Christian fellowship, and sharing, that Christ is where you turn. For in Christ there is no situation that is hopeless. There is no situation that isn't without hope when Christ is in it. And that is a hope you can share with the world around you, with your friends and with your colleagues. But darkness does come before the light, and it's never darker than just the moments before the sun begins to rise. And all of us, at some point in our faith journey, were in darkness, lost. When we accept Christ, we accept the light that is Christ Jesus. And not only do we accept the light of Christ Jesus, we become reflectors for that light, to share that light with the world around us. Pastor, how can I share it? Maybe our mannerisms. Maybe a smile. You need to remember that you may be the only book a non-believer ever reads that has Jesus in it. Your witness, your countenance. For we should show the light that is in us, and that light should be Christ. Is it easy? No. Do we get it wrong sometimes? Yes. But Christ redeems that and brings us out of that and doesn't let us stay in that. So the hope that is in this text is in Christ, holding in tension the birth and the second coming. One of the keys to hope for us is the ability to learn to forgive as we have been forgiven, to let go of things, to set them free. There is none of us able to judge, is there? Hope springs eternal in grace. The grace that God shows to us in Christ Jesus, and that God would move us to share with each other. So now I want to share Charles's. This man is a wordsmith. If you ever have a chance to read some of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's writing, it's worth it. And I share this, his devotional, in closing this morning. And I'm stressing, I'm sharing Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I'm not plagiarizing, borrowing somebody else's. And he bases it on Genesis 1:5 we've already read. And Charles writes, "The evening was darkness, and the morning was light. And yet the two together are called by the name that is given to the light alone, day." This is somewhat remarkable, but it has an exact analogy in spiritual experience. In every believer there is darkness and light. And yet, we are not to be called sinners because there is no sin in us. But we are to be named saints because we possess some degree of holiness. This will be a most comforting thought to those who are mourning their infirmities and who ask, "Can I be a child of God while there is so much darkness in me?" I want to read that one more time. "Can I be a child of God while there is so much darkness in me? Yes, for you, like the day, don't take your name from the evening, but from the morning. And you are spoken of in the Word of God as if you were even now perfectly holy as you will be soon. You are called the child of light, Christians, Christ-like. Though there is darkness in you still, you are named after what is the predominating quality in the sight of God, which will one day be the only principle remaining. Observe that the evening comes first. Naturally, we are darkness first in order of time, and the gloom is often first in our mournful apprehension, driving us to cry out in deep humiliation, God have mercy on me, a sinner. The place of the morning is second. It dawns with grace and overcomes nature. It is a blessed aphorism of John Bunyan. That which is last, listen to this part, that which is last, last forever. That which is first yields in due season to the last. But nothing comes after the last. So that though you are naturally darkness, when you once become light in the Lord, there is no evening to follow. Your sun will never set again. The first day in this life is an evening and a morning. But the second day, when we shall be with God forever, shall be a day with no evening, but one sacred, high, eternal noon. May we know that the darkness comes before the light, but may we have accepted the light of Christ, that now we would have a hope that comes eternal, and light is what we become. By grace and through mercy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you today, there is not so much darkness within us that your light can't overcome it. Yes, there may still be times when we fall short, when we don't do as we should. There may be times when our countenance falls, when there's unforgiveness in our heart, anger and animosity. But Father, we know that the darkness cannot overcome the light that is Christ Jesus in us. May we seek the light of love and grace, and may we share the light of love and grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let us truly know that the darkness does come before the light, but the light overcomes the darkness. Hear our hearts and prepare them to receive of your table your blessings, your love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, how lovely, oh, how pure is this perfect child of heaven. Oh, how lovely, oh, how pure, gracious gift to humankind. He is born, our holy child, playing the oboe and bagpipes merrily. He is born, our holy child. Sing we all of the Savior mild, Jesus, Lord of all the world, coming as a child among us. Jesus, Lord of all the world, grant to us thy heavenly peace. He is born,
go to know Christ, the hope eternal. in our hearts and in our lives, empowering us to live it out despite imperfections. But let us truly know that once we were in darkness, but no longer, but in the light. And the light overcomes the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Now may we go in the light of Christ to be the light of Christ in the world around us. Through love, grace, and mercy, may we serve. By love and grace, may we serve. With His presence and by His will, may we go. And truly may the peace and grace of God that surpasses all understanding go with us, bless us, and keep us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.